good afternoon to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is the 22nd August 2021 Sunday. So we shall be continuing with our sharing from this book, Cultivating the Bodhisattva Way. We are at page 127. We are almost finishing the book. Hopefully we can finish by today, then we can continue with the next transcript. So regarding the taking of the Bodhisattva vow, the first part is just planting the seed of Bodhi. We are reciting as follows. This nature of mine, further vow with utmost sincerity, etc. That's why you have to be very sincere and have very strong faith and persevere to walk to perfection this Bodhisattva way. We are taking the following initial four basic vows of a Bodhisattva. These four basic vows, I have modified them for you. I use this nature of mind and didn't use the word I and me. Do you know why? This nature of yours or mine means all of the form and mind, etc. that allow us to come to this existential world, which means the summation of them all, developing into this nature of mind. That's how we can have your karmic nature and your spiritual nature connected to it. So we recite as follows. This nature of mind, further vow with utmost sincerity, faith and perseverance to walk to perfection this Bodhisattva way, we are taking the following initial four basic vow of a Bodhisattva. Then I explain note. These are the four initial basic vow. Then later on, when you have become more and more skillful, you can expand on these vows. That's how Pujen Pusa or Bodhisattva finally got the 10 great universal vow. And Amitabha Buddha got his 48 great vows. Then all of the various Bodhisattvas, they have their own additional and miscellaneous vows too. They are actually beyond the four basic vows. These are the four initial basic vows. Then later on, when you have become more skillful, you can expand on it. That's how Pujien Pusa finally got his 10 great universal vows. And Amitabha Buddha has his 48 great vows. Then all of the various Bodhisattvas, they have their own additional and miscellaneous vows too. They are actually beyond the four basic vows, because after perfecting themselves, they have their own unique way to add on to those vows. The four initial four basic vows are this nature of my vows to liberate the countless living beings from samsara and take them all across to the other shore. Meaning, you cultivate great love and compassion to liberate the living beings. Then the second basic vow is, this nature of my vow to endure and severe all vexation and suffering, so that your mind can be free from suffering under all circumstances. Then the third basic vow is, this nature of my vow to cultivate and penetrate all Dhamma, to realize the perfection of all wisdom, followed by the fourth basic vow, which is the final vow. This nature of mind vow to perfect the 10 paramitas of perfection, to realize the unsurpassed Sama Sambuddhahood. Then we have the additional vows. Okay, we will not go through the additional vows first. These additional vows are towards, after we have taken the vows, we will go through them. Now you just turn to the second page of the yellow card or notes, which is page 1. We will commence the official taking of the Bodhisattva vow now. We will start from number 1 and we will follow the first option. As is traditional, we may seek out a Buddhist center, which is a way place, or a temple or a shrine, and take the Bodhisattva vow in the presence of a teacher. Now we are doing it together. We can recite, you all can recite after me. Before we start, we will make prostration to all the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. Compose your mind, develop the Satta and the Virya, then we shall pay respect mindfully. And we will recite the following. Homage to thee, Namo Bun Si Si Chia Moni Fo, 3 times. Then homage to thee, Namo Quan Si Ying Pusa, 3 times. Then Namo Fo Pusa, 3 times. Okay, after this, we shall develop the strong aspiration to take the Bodhisattva vow with determined faith and understanding sincerely in front of the Buddha and great Mahasattva or Mahabodhisattva who had gone forth before us. Then we will commence from where he stopped, which is number 3. Okay, making of special aspiration to walk the Bodhisattva way. This is to prepare ourselves before the actual vow. We will recite together. Making the special aspirations. By the power of whatever blessings and wholesomeness that this nature of mine had cultivated from the distant past till now, may it arise the causes and conditions for this nature of mine to have the following right Dhamma understanding, life after life, whenever it chooses to come or have to come in the form of form and mind. You all can recite after me. Huh? We must have this right view with regards to the law of karma, karma niyama. Right view with regards to the law of dependent origination or dwelling, paticca samuppada, citta niyama. And the right view with regards to the four noble truths, dhamma niyama. These 3 right views are very important. And we make aspiration to have the second right view, to understand that this 5 aggregate of form and mind, the 2 aspects of them, clearly, we are the direct seeing to realize that they are all conditioned arising entities, causal phenomena, hence they are impermanence, leading to suffering, not me, non-self, and empty. That is, this so-called human being or 5 aggregates of form and mind is just a karmically conditioned vehicle and tool for us to come to this existential world, to develop the cultivation and to experience all of the beauties and wonders of life. So use it with wisdom to arise the right thought, right speech and right action so as to be a blessing to all and not to be deluded by it, and to constantly recite with understanding the following profound Dhamma understanding. Okay, we will recite together. So this is the Pali chanting where the Buddha taught the monks. So as serious cultivator or practitioner or Dhamma kayamitas or Dhamma friends, you can also chant them. Rūpāṁ anicchaṁ Rūpāṁ anattā Vedanāṁ anicchaṁ Vedanāṁ anattā Sanyāṁ anicchaṁ Sanya anatta Sankara anicchang Sankara anatta Vijnanang chăng vì nhà năng anatta sabbe sankara anicchang sabbe sankara dukkhang sabbe dhamma anatta. Then turn to the next page and we will recite together. Having developed the above right views, this nature of mind further vow to always keep the following three sets of pure precepts, they are following the advice of all Sama Sambuddhas. The first set of pure precepts is this nature of mind vow to avoid all evil and to understand clearly what constitutes evil. The three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion are roots of all evil. And the second pure precept is this nature of mind undertake to cultivate all virtue and blessing, leading to the perfection of them all. And finally, the final third pure precept is this nature of mind undertake the training rule to cultivate wisdom, to help liberate and take across all sentient beings. So this one is very important, not only purify the mind to cultivate wisdom, we also have to fulfill our first vow, basic vow, is to help liberate and take across all sentient beings. We will now commence the actual taking of the Bodhisattva vow. So compose your mind. And then we will start by taking the four basic vows of the Bodhisattva. I will read the first paragraph to strengthen your faith. So this is the Avatamsaka Sutta format, which is very useful by Pusyampus. So I will recite them so that you can understand. Just as all previous Sugata or Buddhas generated the Bodhi mind of enlightenment and accomplished all the stages of Bodhisattva training, so too will this nature of mind for the sake of living beings generate the Bodhi mind of enlightenment and accomplish all the stages of Bodhisattva training so that the seed of Bodhi can be strongly planted within our nature. Okay, we all can read together the vow now. So this was repeated by all. Let me go on. Now we will commence the taking of the four basic vows, and you all can repeat after me. So this one was recited, and all those taking the vow, they repeated after me. This nature of mind vow, further vow, with utmost sincerity, faith, and perseverance to walk to perfection this Bodhisattva way. We are taking the following initial four basic vows of the Bodhisattva. This nature of mind vow to liberate the countless living beings from samsara and take them all across to the other shore. This nature of mind vow to endure and severe all suffering and vexation. This nature of mind vow to cultivate and penetrate all Dhamma to realize the perfection of all wisdom. Then finally, this nature of mind vow to perfect the 10 parameters of perfection to realize the unsurpassed Sama Sambuddhahood. Okay, from 4.2 onwards, these are the additional vows needed to break all karmic obstructions to bring about the way. So these additional vows are very useful. This is a very important additional vow which I had shared with you all before, but now I put them in words so that it's easier for you all to understand. Now we will determine strongly and recite this vow together. Additional vows to break all coming obstruction to bring about the way. Okay, we will recite them together. If by actions, speech or thought, whether knowingly or unknowingly, we are ignorant delusion, and heedlessness. This nature of mind had offended or done anything wrong out of the triple jhana. The Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha, this nature of mind would like to sincerely vow to ask for forgiveness from the triple jhana. Note, this first vow is very important. Asking for forgiveness from triple jhana, because if the karmic offense is there, it is very difficult for living being to actually break it or succumb it or overcome it. But the moment you ask for forgiveness from triple jhana, it will be like resolved immediately, because all enlightened beings, they would have forgiven all those beings who had, whether knowingly or unknowingly, caused any karmic negativity or offense towards their nature. And we recite the next one. Whomsoever from the distant past until now, whether knowingly or unknowingly, that this nature of mind had caused any karmic negativity, misery, suffering, or misled, this nature of mind would like to sincerely ask for forgiveness from them all. May my sincere request for forgiveness be accepted by all, so that all this karmic obstruction can be amicably resolved or lessened, thereby enabling this nature of mind to continue with its cultivation, to realize the true Dhamma with ease. And the third one is, this nature of mind also vow to repent, and from now onward, vow never to repeat any of this karmic negativity born of greed, hatred, and delusion, by following the advice of the Buddha, to avoid all evil, do good, and purify my mind. We are striving on with heedfulness to keep the five precepts and cultivate the Buddha Dhamma diligently, so that it will never violate this law of karma again whenever it arises. Then the final fourth additional vow is, by the power of whatever wholesomeness or merits that this nature of mind had cultivated since the distant past until now, may it arise the causes and conditions for this nature of mind to have the ability to overcome all other coming obstructions or obstacle amicably, so that this nature of mind will be able to gain back its life to walk the path of Dhamma, life after life, to fulfill and realize all its bodhisattva vow. So this one is very important. Eh? Mm. And 4.3, additional miscellaneous vow to support or enhance the cultivation. We shall chant together. This nature of my vows, to be successful in fulfilling all my above vows as soon as possible. This nature of my vow to cultivate strong affinity with all Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, and to request their nature's blessing, protection, and guidance always. This nature of my vow to strengthen my five spiritual faculty of Saddha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya until they become balas of power, life after life, so that all the above vow can be successfully fulfilled with ease. Then finally, this nature of my vows to cultivate extensively all virtue, blessings, and merits to help support my cultivation, so that they will shine forth to aid my nature, to aid this nature of mine, when needed in time of trials, difficulties, and tribulation, while walking the Bodhisattva way. Okay, now we will do the closing puja. Let us rejoice first. Eh? So at that time we rejoice, sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. You all can be seated. Okay, good. It's about 9:40. We are still early, so we still have 20 minutes. Just to elaborate a little bit more on the additional miscellaneous vow needed to enhance cultivation. Take for example the first vow. On this nature of mind vows to be successful in fulfilling all my above vows soon as possible. If you vow that way, it will bring about causes and conditions for you to fulfill them. Then after that, the second vow is also very important. Like I have always advised you all, you have to cultivate strong affinity with Buddhas and Bodhisattvas and to request their nature's blessing, protection and guidance. Do you know what this blessing, when you come, they will bless you because of your affinity with them and your request. It's just like the monks. After you have made offering or perform whatever wholesomeness towards them, they will chant for your protection, for your blessing, etc. Sometimes they will deliver a Dhamma talk. That's why their blessing, protection, and guidance are very important. Guidance is via the Dhamma talk or the Dhamma sharing, or their nature will guide you on how to walk the way, how to fulfill your vows, and how to bring about understanding of all those things. So this one is very important because this nature of mind came to realize that this is a very important and very powerful way. If you don't have all this in place, the Buddha and Bodhisattva's affinity, etc., it's very difficult to walk this way or this Bodhisattva path, because this form and mind can be destroyed easily and without their protection and blessing. Easily destroyed without their protection and blessing. It's very difficult to sustain it, to walk the path successfully. Then, of course, their guidance too, so that you won't deviate, so that you won't make mistakes, so that you will not waste time. Now, the third additional one, of course, we all know, is to strengthen our five spiritual faculties of Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya until they become balanced or powers. The moment you have them as power, technically, your meditation is automatic. You will be mindful the moment you sit and aware throughout the day in the midst of life while doing your worldly duties or fulfilling your worldly chores. For life itself is meditation. When you have the ability to be mindful and heedful throughout the day, then you can have the ability to be mindful and heedful throughout the day. That's why after you have that, your daily mindfulness is like automatic. That's the reason why these spiritual faculties are very important and powerful. The moment this spiritual faculty has been perfected until they become balance of power, unshakable, the mental hindrance will cease to be. That's why it's very easy to cultivate after that. Then when you vow to have the spiritual faculty strengthened until they become balanced life after life, then all the above vows can be successfully fulfilled with ease. With the spiritual faculties, all these vows become no more problem and very easy to fulfill. Then the fourth one is also very important, to cultivate extensively all virtues, blessings and merits to help support our cultivation so that they will shine forth to aid this nature of mind when needed in time of trials, difficulty and tribulations while walking the Bodhisattva way. Do you know why? Why must we cultivate all virtue, blessings and merits extensively? Because you need to develop the perfection, right? You have to go all out. Then these merits, when you know how to use them to the perfection of adhittana, or what they call determination or affirmation, it can bring forth the causes and conditions for a lot of things to happen and to be fulfilled. When you have the problems and difficulties like sickness or whatever, or sometimes you have to overcome like certain karmic obstructions that is very severe, you can invoke the power of merits to overcome them. That's why we always ask for forgiveness and then seek repentance. Then after that, vow not to repeat all this wrong thing, because we know it's wrong, so that we will express, so that it will express our sincerity. Then the third additional vow is, we vow to follow the advice of the Buddha, to avoid all evil, to cultivate wholesomeness and develop wisdom. Then through this cultivation, we are following the advice of the Buddha, we develop merits. That's how we can cultivate extensively all virtue, blessings and merits, so that we can invoke the power of merits for this merits, like the vows earlier. By the power of whatever wholesomeness, merits, blessings and wisdom that this nature of ours have cultivated since the distant past until now, may it arise the causes and condition for whatever you want to do, or whatever that is allowable by the law of nature to arise or take effect. So sometimes when you meet up with certain type of very severe karmic obstruction or negativity or whatever, then when you invoke the power of merits sincerely for causes and conditions, if there is any slightest causes and condition from the distant past, it will connect to. Then it can actually bring forth the condition for it to be resolved and resolve or dissolve. Then sometimes it is like a miracle has taken place. People call it miracle because they cannot understand. But it's actually not really a miracle. That is just we are power of merits through the nature's law. Sometimes it's also power of faith, power of truth, power of determination. So the Buddha knows how to use all of this because of his perfection of adhittana, the perfection of vow, affirmation, etc. Like in the Jayamangala Sutta, the Sutta of Blessing, the Buddha always invoked the power of truth. And he always chant, by the power of all this truth, may joyous victory be ours. So all these are the various skillful means that one can make use of. The 10 perfection leading to Buddhahood are stated in the notes too. And you need to understand them all. The first one is generosity or dana parami, then sila parami or morality. This dana and sila parami we have already covered and done a lot during our earlier sharing of the cultivation stage. The three types of giving are the giving of materialistic wealth, the gift of life, and the gift of fearlessness. Then, of course, the last one is the gift of truth. Then when you have the heedfulness and mindfulness to avoid all evil, by nature you will be good. And your sila or morality will be automatically taken care of. Your sila parami will be perfected. So sila is very useful. When you can avoid all evil, you have sila. This is what you do, because life after life, you will renew your precepts, and you will keep to this precept, so that you are incapable of negativity, so that you cannot violate all this. Then you can start to perfect them. Then after that, the third one is renunciation, nikkhama. As you cultivate the perfection of no mark, you can renounce many things: materialistic wealth, your own body, your own possession, your reputation, or whatever. You will not cling, you will not hold. Then this renunciation parami is very powerful. When you can renounce the world, it means you have wisdom, you have panya. When you can see the unreality and their impermanence, universal characteristic leading to suffering, that's how you renounce them all. That's how you can renounce them all. It's like you understand they don't really belong to you, because you know you, your form and mind is not really what you are, and that one is not real. That's why it doesn't exist. He know you, he know me. How can there be a self? How can there be a living being? How can the aggregates of form and mind, rupa, vedana, sanya, and sankara, be what you are? As you reflect, contemplate, and cultivate, you will understand all this. The power of renunciation can be cultivated to manifest in three levels. First level is kaya viveka, which is physical renunciation of all physical things and possession physically. Then we have citta viveka, which is mental seclusion or renunciation at the mind level. The mind goes into peaceful abiding and secludes itself within. Then of course, lastly, we have upadhi viveka, which is renunciation with wisdom with regards to all your other attachments. Because when you are able to go through citta viveka, mental renunciation means you seclude yourself from the world. But that itself does not allow you to live life. So that one is peace within for your own form and mind. But you have to come out to live life. You have to fulfill your vow, do your duty. Then you have affinity. You need to go through life. So all this need wisdom to be free, to have renunciation. As I ultimately is the perfection of wisdom that can allow us to develop all this. Okay, I'll read on. Also, the perfection of wisdom is to put. It's also our third basic vow. Where you vow this nature of my vows to cultivate and penetrate all Dhamma to realize the perfection of them all. So when you vow that way, life of the life, when you come, you will cultivate and penetrate all Dhamma and you will perfect them all. Then you will reach the understanding as taught in the Diamond Sutra, the teachings of Noma. Noma of self cultivating, Noma of others, Noma of life, Noma of existence, Noma of phenomena and Dhamma. All this cultivation can be very easy to perfect when you have the understanding. And the next parameter of perfection is virya, spiritual zeal or tenacity to go this way, which can arise because of our sadha or faith in the Buddha and his teaching, developed via clear understanding of who the Buddha is and how special and unique a being he is and his teaching is. This virtue or resolve will drive you to take the Bodhisattva vow with understanding. And this will make you very determined to go this way, because you see the importance of such cultivation. And your faith, which is very strong, will cause your virya to arise. Then after that, the next perfection is Kanti. Kanti is patient born of wisdom that enable one to endure all suffering and vexation. It's not suppression or control. You will have a lot of patience because of the wisdom. That's why equanimity is a final outcome of cultivation of patience. You develop equanimity and it comes about because of your wisdom. That's why it has patience towards all things. You can accord and flow. It's not deluded by anything else, the phenomenal world of consciousness and all other things within the conditioned world. The next perfection is truthfulness or satya. You will develop it too, because you will come to understand that it's not worthwhile to lie, to cheat, to deceive. No more meaning to do all those things. Then after you have perfected this perfection, you can use it to invoke power of truth. The Buddha actually invoked the power of truth in many of his suttas. We used to chant them. Ittena satya vajena, etc. And I have it here on page 13 of our puja book. Ittena satya vajena, heto cha jaya mangala. Its meaning is, by the firm determination of this truth, may peaceful victory be yours. Long time didn't chant already, because we seldom chant this Karaniya Metta Sutta, unless we are at the retreat when the non-human requested for it to be chanted. Then we will get our sister Ingvi to help us chant it, because she is very good in Pali chanting. So this power of true recitation are stated on the last paragraph of page 13 of the last paragraph of page 13, and the first part is Ittena Sachavajena Soti Te Hotu Sambada. The meaning is, by the firm aspiration of this truth, may we ever be well. Then the next one is Ittena Sachavajena Saparogo Vinasatu, means by the firm affirmation of this truth, may all illness be destroyed. You always hear this, right? By the firm aspiration or affirmation of this truth, may all illness be destroyed. Then the last one is, by the firm affirmation of this truth, may peaceful victory be yours. See, the victory must come peacefully. So these are all very useful and very powerful understanding. Then as you cultivate the second basic vow, which is, this nature of my vow to endure and severe all suffering and vexation. This one is a cultivation of renunciation and also kanti, or patient endurance. Because you can endure and severe all suffering and vexation with understanding. So this one is very powerful. Then love and compassion is via the first basic vow. Then the next one is number 8, perfection, which is determination or adhitana or resolution. This perfection or adhitana, which is making of vows aspiration or affirmation and determination or strong resolve is very important. If you can perfect this perfection, it can help you a lot in your cultivation, because this nature of mind have more or less perfected this particular perfection. And that's the reason why you know how to use it to invoke power, merits, and truth, etc., to arise the causes and conditions following nature's law, to help realize our other pure wishes or whatever we want. And all this, I never learned them this life, and nobody taught me, yet my nature knows. How can it be? Unless it's from my spiritual nature, from my past. Then the ninth perfection is loving kindness. For you to cultivate the first basic vow to liberate all living beings, you must have love and compassion, because you vow to take across all living beings. Then of course the last perfection is equanimity, which is born of the perfection of wisdom. Then you will have this ability to have the equanimous mind. These 10 perfections, they are all related and linked to your cultivation. Okay, we have completed the taking of the vow and the explanation. So do you all have any question? Anybody has any question? Ah yes, pass the microphone to Sister Yun Chan for the recording, otherwise they cannot hear you. Thanks, Sister Yun Chan. Oh, Yun Chan asked me where do you use chant the salutation to Namo Pho Pusa. Who is Namo Pho Pusa? Then I had to explain that Yun Chan is English educated, so she cannot understand. She thought it's another Bodhisattva. No. Namo Pho Pusa means homage to all the Buddhas and Bodhisattva. Pho Pusa is not another Pusa, but in Mandarin it means all the Buddhas and Bodhisattva. Pho is Buddha, Pusa is Bodhisattva. When you are not Mandarin educated, you may not have this understanding. You may have problem. But it's okay. It's indeed a very good question, because I believe other Kayamita too may also not understand, especially the English educated. So luckily you ask, in the Buddhist teaching or the Buddhist language, especially Mandarin, Pho is Buddha and Pusa is Bodhisattva. So when they chant Pho Pusa, it means they are referring to all the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. When we say Namo, it means homage to the all Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, because we want to create as wide an affinity as possible. Then do you know how to cultivate affinity with all the great beings, all Buddhas and Bodhisattvas? Can you all tell me how? Yes, one way is to chant their Pho-hao, or Buddha's name, or Bodhisattva's name. Then develop your vow to match with theirs. In Mandarin, it is pronounced as xiang ying, meaning your vow match with their vows. That's how you can have the affinity. Then the other way is to learn how to recognize virtuous people. Otherwise, you may have a situation, because some bodhisattvas, like Manjushri, they like to come as a beggar, in a beggar form. So if you spite them and look down upon them, then that can be big trouble for you. Which means when Pho Pusa is in front of you, also you don't have the understanding or you cannot recognize them. Then there's another Kayamita who want to ask questions. I say, ah yes, pass the microphone to Huiling's brother. And he asks, Bertil, sorry, what is the difference between Bodhisattva and Pho? So I have to explain. Okay, very good question. What is the difference between a bodhisattva and a Buddha? A bodhisattva is still cultivating the bodhisattva way. They are still walking the bodhisattva way to become Sammasambuddha. The Sammasambuddha is the bodhisattva that have perfected all the 10 perfections, fulfilled all their vows. Then he became or become a Sammasambuddha. Those who are walking the path, they are still bodhisattvas. But all these great bodhisattvas, which they call Mahasattvas, like Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, Pusen, Wenshu, and Titanwang Bodhisattva, etc., they are very advanced Mahabodhisattvas. They actually can become Buddha, but they withhold their Buddhahood and choose to come back as Bodhisattva to continue to save the world and to do all this work because they purposely take the vow to obstruct their Buddhahood or delay their Buddhahood. Like the Earth Star Bodhisattva, do you know one of the vows that he had is not until he had helped empty the hell of all hell beings, he vowed not to realize the Sammasambuddhahood. If you put such a vow, then how are you going to fulfill them? Or fulfill it? How can the hell be empty so hell beings? Definitely there are world systems that still have hell beings. But then do you know? But then do you think they are not that smart to know that? They purposely put in such vows so that they can stay in the world with their nature to continue this work because they have perfected themselves and they know what these things are. To them, there is no difference. It's just like the Dato to Nantan Sri title. Do you want the title? You are already what you are, and this title are given by people. If you know you already have the quality, the understanding and the perfection, why do you still worry about the titles? So many of these bodhisattvas, they have the understanding and they choose to stay in the world for a very long period. Just like Kuan Yin Bodhisattva. He is very compassionate and he vows to continuously help and liberate living beings. There are also a lot of other bodhisattva with different understanding doing all this. I hope I have explained and answered your question. The other thing about affinity is, I said, you must learn how to recognize virtuous living being or cultivator of the way. Don't spy on the poor people or the beggars. You have to observe them. Do you understand? Sometimes they appear as simple beings. Hence the reason why I always teach you all to understand causes and conditions. All cultivator as you progress, you understand this very well. Just like what the Buddha said, whatever that arises, there are causes and conditions behind the arising. Nothing is by chance, nothing is by accident. So there are a lot of things one need to understand. From nature, the sign will come. And my nature will understand because I have the capability to observe this sign and I can feel them, sense them. Then I will know for sure why certain things cannot be like that. There must be something behind. That's how I will know. Then because of that, I will just go and attend to these people, talk to them, and then help them or do whatever that is appropriate. Then you will know. But you will not be like the worldly people. The worldly people do not know what they normally do. They have selfish intention and motive behind. Well, this guy is rich, so we want to rub shoulder with him. They want to go near him. Do you understand? The simple one or less well-dressed one, they don't give attention. They totally don't even want to see them. But actually, the gem is there. In the simple one, and they may be the real one. The well-dressed up one, they may not be the real one. Most of them are not the real one. Here, real means spiritual cultivator. They don't have the sincerity. That's why when you talk to people, you can know or you will know. Sometimes they are very simple people, like they don't wear anything expensive. Just like when you observe me, I don't even wear a watch. I don't have all the expensive and branded clothing and expensive things because my nature is like that. But please, don't think that there are no great beings who like to wear all those branded things. There are also great beings who like all those things. You will never know. That's why you cannot perceive people with negativity. You must have the wisdom to feel them, to understand the causes and conditions behind. Then you will know why this cannot be the case. Like my last guy, actually at that time, I don't need to meet him. I don't need to meet up with anybody else because I already had the understanding and the wisdom. I don't need any teacher or any guide after that. But then the sign keep on coming. Then I knew, even though I don't know him, he is, I don't know who he is, but my nature knew that I had to meet up with him. That's it. That's the reason why I went to meet up with him after the sign keep on arising for 6 occasions. Then the moment I met him, I understand that it is meant to be because of my very unique special vows. He is just a lay person, very simple. He is not even a Buddhist. He can talk to you on anything, Christianity or whatever. And he don't even have any proper structured Dhamma. But his energy is very good and unique. According to him, he's from a different world system, different dimension and civilization that have perfected the pure energy understanding. And that is the reason why they are very advanced in the field of consciousness and pure energy. And the reason why I need to see him is because of my vow. I have this very peculiar vow, which has been with my nature for very long. This is one of the additional vows that this nature of mine makes. That's why this nature breaks away from traditional vow. It never vows just to meet with Sammasambuddha only. Because the vow is part and parcel of the cultivation. But it doesn't restrict itself to Buddhism only. Do you understand? That's why it vows. Whenever this nature of mine arises, if I want to have the causes and condition to develop the highest wisdom realizable during the era, irrespective of sectarian. That's the reason why I can understand J. Krishnamurti, Eckhart Tolle, and all those other teachings, because I never restrict, or this nature of mine never restrict or limit is understanding to only Dhamma or Buddhism. Wherever there is truth that can bring about understanding and wisdom, it vows to realize them, to realize the highest wisdom at any one time when this nature arises. That's the reason why I had to meet up with my last guide or teacher. Then he explained to me and showed me where the gateway to my nature is. He just asked me, do you trust me? I say, yes, I trust you. He then asked me, okay, now sit down. Then his hand was about 2 inches away from my heart area in front of the gateway. He just said, relax and silent, or just aware. I had already cultivated these first two support of relax and develop awareness. Even the third support, 24 hour, I've already done it and I can do it. That's why immediately after he put his hand there, about 1 or 2 inches towards the left of my heart, within a few seconds, my nature straight away detected the gateway. Then after that, it just silences completely and becomes so still that all my yin and yang energy externally just melt inside there. Then the pure energy went in and I was so still, completely without thought, the whole of that night. Then when I came out of it, there was total and complete stillness, no thought at all, nothing, and just that. That perfect nature was so beautiful and amazing. And because of that, it cut short my cultivation for at least 10 to 15 years. This nature knew if I were to locate it on my own, it would take me at least 10 to 15 years to locate it. And because of that, you all are very lucky. That's why you all came. Sorry. That's why you all can meet me so early. Otherwise, this nature of mine may not come out so early. But I don't know why. It's like very funny, you know. Because after this nature had the understanding since 1989, it also didn't do anything for 15 years until 2004, when Sister Yun Chang had the condition to meet up with me and asked me to come out to share my understanding. Maybe it's meant to be. If I had not met him 15 years ago, I would have located it myself also. Then also maybe at the same time come out and share. That's why it's very strange. Then just like Hui Ning's case, after he had left the fifth patriarch, he already had all the understanding. But he was with the hunters for 16 years, remember? The reason being, he has to wait for causes and conditions for the timing and the timing. All those who have affinity with his nature haven't come yet. Hence, condition not there as yet. If this nature comes out too early, a lot of you may not meet me. If it comes out too late, a lot of you may also miss me. But the timing is such, it has to be that way. That's why things are just the way it is. Meant to be, will be, okay? I think maybe we stop here. We will stop here for meditation. It's already 4:08. We will have our 45 minutes of awareness-based meditation before we continue. Okay, so I will off the light. Then you can have your awareness-based meditation now. Just silence your mind, relax body and mind. Maintain awareness for as long as you can. Don't try to know, don't try to do anything. Just maintain the awareness. Stabilize the awareness nature within. Okay, I will set the alarm now. So affinity can be cultivated in many ways, but you must develop wisdom, understanding of causes and conditions, or cause and effect. And you must learn how to see signs, then echo and flow. That's why when this nature has this understanding, whatever it does is not rigid. That's why I always said, whenever there is rigidity, there is no Buddha Dhamma. That's the reason why, even when I go on spiritual trips, we may have in our program agreed on certain schedule or certain itineraries, but when the condition changes, I will make different decision. Sometimes nature's forces are fighting up there, the dark force and the virtuous one. They are actually having constant like conflict up there, because each is trying to outbid the others. But when you have this understanding, and when you just echo and flow, because you understand there is no muck, then they will find it very difficult to predict your behavior. Of course, you can predict what I like to eat. I always order those few food. But you will be surprised sometimes when the conditions are not there, that I would order. Then I won't order them because I don't need them. Do you understand? Then we will order some other dishes or itineraries. Then sometimes we are supposed to go to that restaurant, but because of certain conditions, we will not go there. Just like what happened during many of our spiritual trips, we make decision in between. Sometimes we just cancel it because no need to go. Then we straightway went off to Wu Tai San. That's what happened during that spiritual trip at that time. The condition will arise and show it to you. So when you encounter all these great beings, the Buddhas, the Bodhisattvas, you will have to have this understanding to really have affinity with them. Then you will know how to make contact. Then you will know how to develop the fellowship, friendship, and other related things. Just like this life, you have the condition and the understanding, then this type of affinity with this nature of mind will be very strong. That could be the reason why in the past some of you could have had this affinity with my nature before. But as I always say, everyone comes differently. Most of you come through your affinity with Kuan Yin Bodhisattva's nature. I realize that those who have affinity Kuan Yin will also have affinity with this nature of mind too. Because Kuan Yin's nature will know where to send people to. And all those other conditions, like our affinity with Anandagiri Hermitage, is the same. It's because of Kuan Yin's nature. That's how we got to do the consecration of the Three Great Beings platform. Remember, first is to consecrate Maitreya Bodhisattva. Then after that, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva. And finally, the last one is Sakyamuni Buddha's Rupang. For a Theravada monk like Ajahn Ajahnlu to suggest in a Theravada tradition way place to have a Maitreya Buddha Rupang is already very weird. Then after that, when he decided to add in Kuan Yin Bodhisattva's Rupang, it has become even weirder. Then he came to realize that since the way place is in Thailand, a Theravada way place, so how can there be no Sakyamuni Buddha's Rupang? So finally he decided to put in a Sakyamuni Buddha's Rupang in the middle. That's how we got to consecrate the Three Great Beings platform. And I knew why all three have to be there. is because this is the sasana of Sakyamuni Buddha, supported by Kuan Yin Bodhisattva and Maitreya Buddha. That's how we got to do the consecration of the Three Great Beings platform. Then we also get to sponsor the images and all those other things. And now to do the expansion of the platform. Also we, all Kayamita, get to do it. How can we have such favorable conditions? All this come about because of our parami, condition and affinity with all these three great beings. And it's mainly because of affinity with Kuan Yin Bodhisattvas and of course also Maitreya Buddha and Sakyamuni Buddha. In this life, two of these three great beings' nature came to me. Kuan Yin's nature came in 1986 with the triple gem and the message to move fast. He said, not much time left, you have to move fast. Then after that, in the year 2008, Maitreya Buddha came and made that special request. He said in Mandarin, 请你把正法传下去, meaning, please help transmit the true Dhamma. This message was repeated 5 times in golden words coming out of Maitreya's animated lively face, flowing out in beautiful written calligraphic golden words form with his rather unique laughter of that great laughter, ha 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 ha, so loud in the background. That whole statue was animated into a live being with very beautiful golden yellow color. All this you cannot explain how it can be possible, how it can happen, because when it came, it just, when it comes, it just come. Okay, I was reminded by my wife to stop at 10 p.m. So now it's already 10:10. So we shall end so that we can have our fellowship. Anyway, this nature of mine really rejoice with all your wholesomeness, affinity, and great condition. You look at Sister Alicia, despite her sickly condition, she is still here. But don't worry, all this will come to pass and she will recover. Okay, now we can do the closing puja, sharing of merit, transfer of merit. Then we make our aspiration and we end. So I think that's the end of it. Eh? We cover the whole book, Cultivating the Bodhisattva Way. So this has been a good sharing. Eh? Hopefully by now you all can have deeper understanding of what this cultivation is. And you all should thank Sister Po Ching for making the request, yeah, to have this teaching or transcript book to read, share and explain. Okay, so with that we will end the first session. Then we will open up for the second session now. Meditation reporting followed by any question you may have.
Good afternoon, Brother Teo, and all Kayamitas. Before I nominate, 我想 Brother Teo report 我的 last meditation.
可以,
Brother Teo 可以 guide 我, 而且我可以 学部 Kayamita 可以一起学习.
好的, 很好.
Actually, 我在我的 bathroom 有一张这样子小小的卡, 它里面有两位的
okay,
在我的 bathroom 里面 然后 last Saturday 我在我的 outside 我的 就是我的房间 一个另外一个 very far corner 我在 meditation 的时候 after 我 meditate 大概10多分钟的时候 我忽然嗅到那个香味 然后那个 thought 很快就跳出来 为什么这个味会在我的 鼻子这一边，他话很快就跳出来了。
对。
然后之后呢，我就在 continue 在 meditate。And after that 哦，他就一身冒很多汗。
嗯。
啊，就好像你 after 你 stretching 了这样子的 condition 哦，很多汗冒出来 ，and then 他整身就很轻松，很 relax 这样子。
哦，是啊，对 ，very good。
Then after that 哈，我就出来了，然后我就 try to reflect, try to understand. 我找不到他的 answer 的。然后 Sunday 的时候，我又在早上起来又在 meditate 的时候，Then 哈，他就那个香味，你是 aware 到那个香味，同样就是你会 aware 到那个香味，可是你没有去抓他进来这样子，
yeah,
就是他飘过这样哦。
然后
你 aware 到那个东西，然后再回去你的 aware 到就说你回去你的 meditation 里面，
yeah.
然后过一阵子它又很轻微的又飘过那一阵 no 那个then after that 我就好像 understand 啊，其实那个东西本来就在，是你有那个 sensitivity 去 perceive 没有？
yeah.
是
有那个 condition 的。
对，然后接着那几天我都会很，在我每一天的早上 meditation， 我就是可以 you know 有一个很轻微的那个味道在那边。
哦、OK
啊，就这样子，Then, 其实就是这个是一个 condition 给我学习啦，可是我先想问一下 Virtue， 我这样子去理解是不是这样去理解这个、
这是最近的发生的 happening or it has been off and on？
没有，就因为以前我是要进到去我的 bathroom， 因为它是这样一个小卡在里面。
我知道，
是我是没有可
靠的，
然后就是我每天进到 bathroom， 对，然后我是还是我的自己的 nose a bit sensitive， you know，
but 是最近不了啦，
最近
before that it never happened before，
no，
okay， then， 你讲那个流汗呢，它是 actually after you meditate， do you feel anything happening inside your body？ 你 heart area 那边有 any movement 的呢？
我一直都会 feel 到这里有东西。
okay。
是我每次 meditation 我 stay 在那边的哈，我就会到有东西，但我就是不管它了，我就是做我就是 stay 在那边讲。他就有时我的 sitting 会感觉，他好像怎样讲那个 awareness 好像 like expand 好像整个很 hollow 这样啊，不然就
对 okay。
这个就是我定的，
不要紧，because based on 你的 explanation， you very likely 的可能就是 because sometimes when we meditate， it may be， that's why 我说有可能啊，我都不敢决定了。Like the Buddha say， whatever that arise， there are causes and conditions。So the 可能性是 because you say it's connected to your meditative experience. After that, 你流汗 and all those things, that it's like you feel fresh and good. It's like you feel very light, recovered and all those things. So this one could be that smell that you smell. You see, a lot of these we call devas.They have a type of smell that is very fragrant, very, very fragrant. But I don't know about your that card. You say the smell is similar to that card. But is that fragrant the same or is it stronger?
Right, 那个 fragrance 是一样的。
哦，一样。
一样的。 okay. 第一次我 smell 到的就很 strong， 然后我的 mind 很快就跳出来了。
Okay. So 有一个可能就是这种 heavenly beings or devas 呢，如果他是有那个 condition 的， they will manifest， then you will smell them。Then when you smell them, you will understand, the mind will catch it, because when they come, it's very strong. It's just like Anandagiri that night, before the consecration, we were doing the rehearsal. Then when we were doing the sharing of merit and transfer the merit, because of the three great beings, nature and all the devas, one of our Gamita can see, so. Then that time I was feeling very strange, becausethat smell was so strong, that fragrant. I was thinking Achan Achalo brought some perfume or beautiful flower that has the incense and all the smell and all that. But no, none. It was actually all the devas. And that one is really very strong because a lot of them came. But for your this case, very likely it could beOne of the devas who have the affinity or one, I'm not sure. That's why I say the possibility could be they are there. So next time when you meditate, you can sense this or feel this, just let it be, then let whatever pass. So what you did was good. After that, you came to realize your meditation have certain effect on your physical body.And what you describe after that, you like sweat after, it's like somebody who has done some workout or exercise, then you sweat and you feel fresh and good. So this could be the meditative things that happen. That's why I asked you, did anything happen in the heart? Then your answer was, you stay there and you just let the movement go. So,when that movement is meant to be, maybe helped by this demons or what, we don't know, then it can happen, it can manifest. Then you will have that experience. But whatever it is, just let it be. And like what I used to advise Song, everything that arises is part of the way.Part of the cultivation, part of the training. So you will learn to understand all this. Then as you understand more and more, you will be exposed to more and more of this, what we call condition that will manifest within the meditative training and process. Then we also have other...possibility. Because when you cultivate, it's not only the experience that we have, we go through. We need to develop the understanding that sometimes certain things may happen. Then they happen for a reason. Then you will have the understanding of what to do.But more important is whatever that can give rise to wisdom and understanding after you come out of that meditation, then make use of it. Otherwise, just treat it as part of the way, then it will be okay. 不用去 like, try to like, believe something happened or something.Sometimes it may be, it could be because like what I went through, when the sign come, when things arise, when condition manifest, then certain things happen. But you will come to understand all this. So this is based on what you described and what I feel on the possibility. But more important is the cultivation itself.Just silence your mind, stabilize that nature, and just let things be. And whatever arise, take it as part of the way. Okay, Alicia. Yeah.
是的，Brother Teo，其实，只是那一两天我就讲哦，然后过后我就没有再去再多去contemplate，因为我知道这个是 part of the cultivation，我 need to go through，可能这个那几天过后，然后我就觉得哎。我早上起来的时候，我觉得我的 chattering mind 哦，我还很 clear 一下，很 clear，you know like
that's very good, that's very good,
very very clear, and then a lot of 那些念头啊，我会很清楚。现在其实还是 go back to daily mindfulness 啦，不是？
对，那个很重要的，stabilize 那个 daily mindfulness。
是，所以现在一路一路来，好像 more and more clear about 那个 silent mind 这样。
是的，那个很重要。
是。然后这个就是我的一点点的 sharing 呢。
Okay, good afternoon, Brother Teo and the rest of Kalyamita. Okay.For today, I just would like to share one thing. This Cultivating the Bodhisattva Way.
Yes.
This book was first given to me by a friend, a spiritual friend, at the end of year 2019. That is December 2019. And this friend of mine, she knows that I'm interested in.Mahayana Buddhism also, you see. So she says, I know you're interested, so I do not know whether this book will help you or not, lah, whether you like it or not. I have not seen the book. I said, can, you can pass it to me. So she put
it. You have affinity with this teaching.
She put it in one envelope and pass it through a friend of mine to me.
So
I went to him.And then when I open up, I didn't read at once, no. I just flick through only, lah, no. You don't mind I speak it truthfully, yeah?
No problem. We actually prefer you to speak the truth. No problem.
I flick through. I was saying it's written by a brother, Teo Kien. So I was thinking it's not from a monk who wrote it, you know.
Understand.
Then, the time I was preparing for Chinese New Year, so I was clearing my this library, lah, you know. So, like all those old spiritual books which I read over and over again, so I decided some of it I want to send to the temple. So, for this book, Cultivating the Bodhisattva Way, I was thinking, Bodhisattva Way. Whether I can do it or not, you see. I also quite afraid, lah. I said, Bodhisattva way, take a long way, you know, that kind of thing.
I said, at that time, your thinking is like that because you use the thought, the condition mind.
So, do you know what happened? I put this book among my other books, which I want to send to a temple, you know.
Okay.
I put this book inside the box. After I put this book inside the box, my heart felt so uneasy, you know.
Sadhu. Very good.
Keep on going to the box there. And then keep looking at this book, no, at this picture of Guan Yin, no.
Sadhu.
And so many days, so I keep going there. I take out this book, I flick through again. Then after I go inside the box again, after a few days, I will go back to the box and I take out this book again. So I tell myself, I better read once through like, before I send it away. But the minute I start reading, it never leaves my hand.
That means you have affinity. These are the conditions that will fall into place. If it's meant to be, like I say, the sign will come. You will feel uneasy inside. That something is not right. Well, your nature will know. Is meant to be, he has come, and yet, without you have the understanding, you don't know how to look at it or make use of it, and also nobody can teach you or explain the thing to you. So luckily, you have strong affinity with this teaching, and because of your past, that's why you somehow have that condition to go back and pick out that book and read. Then, like you mentioned, the moment you start reading, you couldn't stop because the thing inside is so different from normal people's book. Even monks don't write this way. Because you can go and read the Mahayana book and all those things.
Yeah,
I have yet to see a book on Bodhisattva way written by a Mahayana monk with such clarity and detail. None.
After I finish reading this book, that's how I started to email you, I want to take this opportunity to thank you because my understanding of this real Dharma has really brought me to another level.
Yeah, changed a lot. So now you understand what the traditions are, how they evolve since the early time, the Buddha, 2600 years and over the period, how Theravada, Mahayana, Vajrayana, how they transform based on condition, culture, and many other things. Then how the teaching become like no longer authentic like what it used to be. Then over time, you like are exposed to all this because you came to encounter Dhamma. Then you cannot connect back to your past. It's because you don't have the strong cultivation from the past. But somehow your affinity with this nature and this teaching and with the great beings, they are there to actually create a condition for you. Like you say, you don't know why this friend of yours can want to have the intent to give the book to you, because she feels this book may be suitable for you, because she know you like my teaching and all those things, but you couldn't find anything that is useful or helpful. I remember when you asked me the first time you emailed to me, there were so many questions. But those questions and doubts were normal, because most people have this question and they cannot understand. But it's not easy to understand the true teachings, especially Mahayana teaching, even Theravada teaching, the true authentic teaching is not easy. For most people, they are only exposed to Dhamma knowledge, theoretical teaching, and they teach it according to what they were told or taught based on scriptures, based on Buddhist books or texts that they have read about, and now maybe the internet and other things. Then they listen to Dhamma talk and other things, depending on who they listen from. So the teaching are very varied and very mixed. And very difficult for people to find the truth, find the way to link all this teaching as one teaching and finally able to share, teach and guide. That one is very difficult to find, very rare. So based on what you have explained to me, I rejoice, where my teacher rejoice. Because you have the affinity, and like you say, ever since.
So now when I read this purple book, Emptiness,
you can understand now.
I can understand really. I can see the whole thing.
Yeah, so different now.
So different. So I'm very grateful to you, brother.
Thank you so much.
Namo Amitabha. Namo Amitabha.
Yeah. Sadhu to you. Rejoice. Because of your good affinity. That's very good sharing. So we really look forward to more Kayamitas who can share their experience, so that the faith is there. Other Kayamita can also develop the faith and understanding. Because for you is a very good example. You are somebody totally new, not even near to our Kayamita circle initially. Then later on, when you wrote the email, then I contacted, asked you to, I think, contact Dr. Jan Tardy. Then everything just happened. Then the books I sent through, I think, Sian to Dr. Jan Tardy, then she passed the book back to you. Then you wrote me a few emails, remember, and asked very good and relevant question that I answer very well. Now you read the answer again, different again. You will have completely different understanding, and you will rejoice. At that time when I answer you, you are not at the level to understand.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Next Sunday, what will be your book that you're referring to for next Sunday?
I haven't decided yet, but I will let you all know.
Okay.
It very likely is one of the transcript book. I have a lot of this, what they call the Diamond Sutra teaching and the Six Patriarch Platform Sutra.
I would love this.
I will look at it, then I will start. Especially the Six Patriarch Platform Sutra, we have a lot of transcript book. A lot of transcript books. So I may
How
go
can
to
I get How can I get
one? When you can cross state and send somebody, Dr. Jayanta can come that time, I will give you a full set.
Thank you.
They are all in the soft copy, actually. You can go to the brotherteo.com under publication. You can see the ebook, the PDF, everything is there. It's yellow color with Hui-Ning's image in the center.
I prefer hard copy.
For you. We all the old generation on. The old generation people, we will prefer the hard copy. Yes. This one is lesson number 75. Some of them you must have. I think when Dr. Jayanta sent to you, there must be some. We have quite a number. Then there's another one, 84th lesson of the Six Patriarch Platform Sutra. So a lot of this, we start with lesson 1 and 2 and 3. Initially more, then later on we skip and we continue.
Thank you.
No problem.
Okay.
Maybe 我 share 讲，就是Virgil，我现在最近每一天都在repeating 听回最近的这个sharing 的那个 talk， 就是 from 那时候我在 share 我的那个experience， 然后过后，然后曼燕就 ask for 那个if on the path 的那个 talk， 然后就到。the NB 的那个sharing， 然后过后就到两个Miss Lee share 问的那个phenomena
perception of form is consciousness， whereas is non perception is wisdom， 那个是Surangama Sutta 的saying。
我每一天我都在听一直 repeating 这样子，一直好从这几个 talk 一直这样子 repeating。
Very good. All those talk are very good.
Yeah. 我觉得他们每个很像是 connected 这样子慢慢的进去。然后就慢慢的像来，越来越你会整个的那种讲了understanding 会很像慢慢的觉得越来越明白这整个的那个 picture， 整个的那种 cultivation， 完全不一样咯。
Yes， this is what the 菩萨道 is all about。 菩萨道 is you have very extensive exposure to cultivation， that's why all of these cultivators they are differentthey are at different stage, different level, different understanding, then their reporting is different. Then because of my nature, I have this understanding and this exposure, and I can guide them. So everyone is different, and when they come, the timing, everything, then I will know what to share from there onward, what they need, and all of that. Then these are the very important detailed understanding of the cultivation. Without this explanation, it's very difficult for people to penetrate. Like even Miss Lee, after what she has gone through, that sentence she knows is important from the Surangama Sutta. Perception of form is consciousness, whereas its non-perception is wisdom. She knows it's important, but she cannot penetrate the full understanding. She only has certain indirect Dhamma understanding. Then she described in her own way as well. From the way she shared and explained and request for the further elaboration and explanation to help her understand, I knew where she was and how she needed to move on. That's why I can continue and explain. Then even for Ingbi's case, also same, I remember. It was very good, very beautiful, because she went through different. Her understanding is different. She silenced her mind, and when she was exposed to the initially external, then later on the internal. So all these are the various stages that people has evolved and developed. Therefore, you also, you have yours, where you were caught and trapped in the thought. That's why I always keep on reminding you that it's still at the top. It is the top. Then now you know. From there, you link to habitual tendency. Then you link all the question and the doubt back to the thought want to know, the thought want to question. Then why I want to break your that one, which later on you able to understand, is because I keep on repeating J. Krishnamurti sharing why thought divide and all things. Then why living being who have the understanding and the cultivation shouldn't be caught there, because a lot of cultivators are caught at thought level, where they go and analyze. Then when they analyze, they try to reason using the thought, they will have a lot of this type of doubt and question. Why not that? How come it's like that? Why not that? Then they try to solve it using the thought. But Dhamma is not like that. Dhamma is understanding. No amount of analysis and reasoning can solve the problem of Dhamma, because Dhamma is beyond thought, beyond mind. So all this analysis, reasoning is always with duality at the thought level. What you need to realize is from that nature, the silent mind with the faith and the understanding, just do. That everything is part of the way, also you come to understand. That's why for you, you actually progress very well and quite fast, because those are the, they call the progressive cultivation and training, where people cannot, I won't say block, it's like they stagnate there, they cannot move on. You don't have a guide or a teacher who understand and help you to break all this, they will be caught there very long. Stagnate, I use the word stagnate, the correct word is. It may not be a very strong or severe karmic obstruction. And most of the time, it's not really that. It's because the cultivation is such. You have to go through. And without good teacher and guide or your past cultivation, you cannot break through all this. I realize not easy. Then for me, sometimes the great beings nature, they will come and guide me. I remember there was one time this one of the great beings, I forgot the name really. I was in the early years of cultivation. Then I went through certain things that I couldn't understand at that time. That I want to understand. Then suddenly, in the dream, that great being came and just told me something. And straight away, I understood. Then after that, I clear. I can't even remember what the topic was. But it was something very profound. Yeah. Then I just clear. So all this is what you are being exposed to, and I rejoice with your nature's ability to actually see the beauty and importance of all this. That's why you say you keep on listening to all this sharing. And these are very, very priceless sharing that you cannot find in any other books or any other place. Because these are cultivators' experience and questions. And these are being answered by somebody who understands and can guide them through all the more important final point, the final point of cultivation and develop the understanding to break free and move on. And without that, it's not easy. Even my daughter sharing is also very good. Then there are some, they actually understand it from their past and through different way. So they don't have to go through the silent mind direct seeing to awaken, to understand, because it's from their past life. Then they have this, then they come during different era, different situation, like my daughter's generation and my son's generation, they are the IT era, internet era. So they have different mindset, different set of logic and thinking and understanding. That's why they will share this way, they will teach this way. Like Krishnamurti, he come, he will teach that way, not the traditional dogmatic teaching. Even my nature, I share based on day-to-day experience and understanding, but I try not to move away too far from the contemporary teaching, because human beings, especially during my time and even up till now, those who are serious in cultivation and meditation, they tend to read the scripture and all those things. They tend to look at all this as authority and all these things. So I have to quote the Buddha's word. Not to say I need to quote them. I have to quote them because people cannot understand the deep meaning. So when I explain, the explanation is so different from what is traditionally taught by them or what they learn, like you all know. In the early day, they were all stuck at the thought-based meditation. They were all stuck because nobody can explain the true Dhamma and the true teaching. Nobody can connect them all and explain the whole thing, that the Buddha Dhamma is all interrelated and interconnected as one. So all this happened in the world. So when it happened, when I want to come out and share, I realized it was so difficult. So I need to maintain the faith of these people so that they will not be completely become frightened or bizarre and just run away. If I straight away teach on my level of understanding, nobody will be around with them because it's so different. Almost completely the body of what the Buddhist community is learning or teaching. So all this is very good for you. So you can continue now. That is the part I want to explain.
Yeah. Mm. This is a separate topic. But slowly down the line, 它很像是那种cultivation 的 step 一步一步的让你走到更更 deeper 的那个power 里面去。所以说我每一天一直在 repeat 的都听过一样的这个 talk 的时候，我觉得哇，里面真的是 no wonder 我们需要 life after life 的一次回来的
talk, that wow to come back to understand them. It is like the you all Mandarin call one密集 or the like you learn kung fu you need the book you need that one. So this pointer and explanation are like that thing. Once you read that one, you cut short your training. You no need to like go and try and error, do R&D and try this, right? They straight away tell you, okay, you learn that, you penetrate your kung fu and all those things, then you can become very different. So the Dhamma Michi is the same. You need an experienced cultivator who has gone through all this and the understanding to see the whole thing, then come back to the point where the cultivator is and explain the relevant detail that they need at that time, so that they can move. Otherwise, if I speak too early before people have the condition or the experience, no point, because nobody can understand. Like I used to share with you at the retreat, what I understand, my nature understands, is so much more, but I can't share at that time because there was no condition. Except on certain occasion where the non-humans out there, they want to know because they can understand. Then some of it my nature share. And I know at that time nobody can understand from that one, very few. But the conditions were there, that's why it came out. So all this later on, as you all progress and move, you will start to understand all this. But these are the condition, causing condition of cultivation that cultivator need to go through. That's why it is the Pusatta, the Bodhisatta way. You have to expand your understanding and experiences. That's why, like you say, truly, life after life, you now understand. You have to come back with this understanding and continue. Otherwise, how much can you learn in one lifetime? Limited. Because by the time you make contact or have the condition to maybe understand the true Dhamma, you are no longer young. Then how long is the human being's life? Maybe 80 or slightly more than 80. Average is about there. So within that limited years, you can't cultivate that much. Like my nature, when I came, I consider very special, very unique. That's why I connect very fast, and at the age of 35, I was ready. And I located the gateway. Normally, the gateway, according to my last guide, normally, for people to reach that gateway, at least 80 years old. Otherwise, they can't even touch it or know that there is such a thing as the gateway. So I was way ahead. And my nature know, if on my own, maybe I need at least 10 to 15 years to locate it myself. So all this is like meant to be because of my unique vow. Then he came all the way. I don't know him. How can that person be known when he is a Chinese, of course, born in Indonesia. He's an accountant. He is older than me by 20 years old. Then because of something happened, I think at the age of 35, he's supposed to die, but he didn't die. Then some great beings contacted him and tell him they can heal him and let him have the understanding. That's why he went to Kalimantan to see his teacher, his great teacher. Then he had his encounter with the one from Himalayas, the so-called 800 old years old in the astral. Do you believe? You can't believe. Then what he told me was a lot, very out of the ordinary. Then after that, he decided to like retire in some quiet place to hibernate and recuperate. So he migrated to New Zealand. That far end of the world, how can I meet him? Okay. But somehow condition is such when he was about to come out to share, he had an early retirement. He actually, under the New Zealand, they have their retirement scheme. In Australia, New Zealand, it seems I was told, you don't have to be a government servant to receive pension. As long as you have paid tax before, then they have certain way of calculating. Then when you reach that age, you can have your retirement. Mm. So he had his retirement early, I think 58 years old or what, before he actually he's supposed to retire 60, I think, but he got it earlier. Then that's why he agreed to come out and travel and share. But before that, he actually, somebody located him, my friend in Singapore, and keep on telling me about him, but I didn't go and see him. So all this is like meant to be. How can such a being, totally no relationship, no connection, no way I can know him and see, but he came to KL, Genting, and the condition was such, six times the sign came, and I don't know who he is, but I have to see him. That's why the moment I met him, I think end of 1988, I remember. Oh, sorry, I think after 89, sorry, beginning 89, after I have understood the number, I think I met him in 89. The moment I met him, I knew it's meant to be. Straight away, everything fall into place. I have shared some of the thing with you early on. So if you are attentive, you have been listening, you will know how I met him and how he talked to me and how everything just happened. So all this are very beautiful happenings. So like I want to explain to you is even my nature at this, in this life, the way I come, I connect early age 35, then I continue to like stay alone without anybody contacting me for 15 years until 2004, Yun Chan came. Then I start to share, I find it so difficult. And then until now, of course, total of 16 or 17 years. But if you talk about cultivation, how much time do I have? But luckily, my past was strong. That's why the moment I able to connect to my gateway, I inherited everything and the understanding came back. That's why after that, my cultivation, I continue from there, which is basically I don't need to do much already except to fulfill my vow to continue to teach, to continue to share, to continue to develop this experience and understanding. The more I share, the more I understand, the more I give, the more my nature receives. So all this will manifest and you all will come to know. So luckily today, so you share and ask this, then this explanation will help you all and many other Kayamita who has actually progressed to have this. That's why the Bodhisattva way is very beautiful. It's very, very beautiful, very extensive. Although you say long, but nothing is more beautiful than this understanding that can continuously unfold life after life after life, and all the cultivation becomes so different. That's why you must vow like that day. I forgot somebody, one of the cabinet, they say they want to connect early. That one is very important. Otherwise, how much time you have to cultivate? By the time you finish, you already almost 80 or 80 plus already. They say your physical body may not sustain you anymore. Then you got not enough time to actually reflect and contemplate and develop the further understanding of a being that has cultivated, connected, and developed the understanding. Like what I went through at the age of 35. I got at least, even if I live up to 80, I have 45 years of very rich experience of living the life of phase 3 Dhamma, Pativeda, and also developing so much more understanding and exposure. So this one is not easy. That's why what you share is very true. You now understand why you must have this vow aspiration, then life after life you must have this type of understanding. Otherwise this thing cannot be fulfilled, cannot be accomplished. So this is beautiful, Sadhu, to yourself. You can continue now. So,
Bharati, 你在做那个sharing 的时候, 你在讲到那个 Eightfold Noble Path 后面的时候, 你有讲到有几个的那个 step, 就是那个 aspect course, 是 for cultivation 的。 然后我说, 那每一个的那个 aspect 都是一个很大的一个
very big section for cultivation.
一个很大的。然后你在 然后过后你再 explain 那个 NB 的那个 talk， 你在后面的时候，你在讲，你在 explain 的时候，又是 another level 的那个 cultivation。
NB one is another level， totally different。
another。 然后过后你再讲那个 Miss Lee 的那个 我讲哇，又是哦，所以又是 another 的那个 每一个的那个 aspect 都是一个很 deep 很 wide 的那个 questions。
所以这个, the cultivation is like unending. That's why 那个修行, is a very big topic. Very, very big topic. That's why every of the paramita, perfection, is a major cultivation. It's not what people think, but it can be done. What you need is just three things: faith, sincerity, perseverance, and just do. Don't try to know. Go to that nature. That's why nothing is apart from that self nature. Always remember, from that nature everything arises. From that nature you can develop the understanding, the awakening, the penetrative understanding. It is just that nature. That's why that nature is the eternal nature. That nature is what we call the deathless element, the unconditioned. And that one is not a being. That nature is very unique. That pure nature, the oneness nature, whatever name you give to it, you have to realize that. And that one can only be connected to or go into if you have a form and mind to come to this existential world. Then you meditate, then you develop the understanding, then you go in. Because without a form and mind, you cannot access that nature, that gateway. So it's very, very unique and very strange in that sense. So you need the form and mind, but the form and mind is karmically conditional. Then the karmically conditional form and mind need to realize that that form and mind is not real, not what you think. Then there is another nature within that is beyond knowledge, beyond thought, beyond mind, means the mundane mind, and beyond everything. There is the unconditioned. And that one you have to stabilize it, realize it. Then from there you use it to observe, to cultivate, to meditate, to understand, to insight into phenomena, to awaken. And that one is a big field that is totally not really known to the world as yet. Very few masters or cultivators can assess that. Even those who initially assess that doesn't know what that thing is. not to say to teach, to share. You know, that thing is way beyond, and most people don't understand. That's why to encounter a being or a teacher that has this nature and understanding is very rare. So all this, you will come to understand because there is condition. And today's sharing is also very, very important. But this one, you have to listen to it maybe a few years later, and you will understand what I try to explain. But this one connect you back to the Bodhisattva way and the full training, the extent of training that you need to be exposed to. That's why the true mind, the silent mind, that nature, that one, you need to really realize it until very clear, very stable. Then the cultivation itself, that one is still a long way to go, a lot of things. But that one, don't worry, because that one is actually the Bodhisattva way. If you are not a Bodhisattva, you no need to locate the nature. To realize the sainthood way, you no need to locate the gateway. You no need to know all those things. But to go the Bodhisattva way, you have to. Then the third stage of Bodhi mind development is the Bodhi mind that illuminates that nature. That one is the one. Once you reach that, you safe already. You know what that nature is, and you are very clear, and you know how to cultivate from there. That one, they call it, you are safe. After that, you won't fall back anymore. No matter what happened, you won't fall back anymore. Your Bodhisattva way is like confirmed. It's like you can get a prediction to be a Sammasambuddha after that. Okay, so?
So
let us rejoice. Today one is very good. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So we should thank Joey, Song, and Alicia for creating the condition and having the good sharing today. So sadhu to them.
Wu Cheng,
sadhu, yes.
Amitabha, Mr. Steele, and all Kayamitas. Thank you very much for this sharing on cultivating the Bodhisattva way. Firstly, I learned a lot. Secondly, I just want to share a little bit about my cultivation lately.
Oh, very good. Yeah, sadhu. Go ahead. Yeah,
just very, very, it's an experience, like, Bertio. I've never experienced this before.
Yeah.
Because I've been doing a lot of, for the past 3 months or so, I've been doing this Bodhisattva vows, right?
Oh, sadhu, yes.
This strong understanding of it, I experienced an interesting thing that I never experienced before, you know.
Wow, sadhu. Sadhu.
I mean, whether it give me wisdom or not, I do not know whether this is a wisdom or not, but it's a kind of experience that I never experienced before.
Yeah, yeah,
but
yeah. You will that, come to know, yeah.
After that, I come to know, why is that experience, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So this experience, it was on the Kuan Yin Tan. Kuan Yin Tan.
I know.
Yeah, the 28th of July.
Yes, yes.
So I did the Bodhisattva vows and I do all the puja. Mm. And then I do sharing of merits. Mm. Okay.
Mm.
After that, because that day I have a condition to do dana sharing, right? Dana offering, not sharing.
Dana offering, yeah.
Okay, so I did that. After that, I was very in my mind, actually in my mind, I had this thought, you know. In my mind, I had this thought that, all the devas, I mean, I invite all the devas to share, you know. Yeah. After that, you know what happened, Bertio? It's so inconceivable, you know. When I looked out, suddenly I sense something, you know. I sense something. I sense that there's something wanting me to look at it, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They will give you the sign,
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's like I being like pulled to look at it. Then
Look,
you know what I see, you know?
Yeah.
I see the funny image, you know.
Oh, sadhu, sadhu. You know?
They say, hey, what is this, huh?
Yeah, yeah, it's meant to be and give you faith. Because of the affinity and your faith and your understanding, then this thing will come out. Because you have faith in Kuan Yin, and when you celebrate her Kuan Yin Tan, it's a very major event. Then you share merit, you transfer merit, they rejoice. Then there is a manifestation. You will see. You will understand. That's what affinity is all about. That's what faith is all about. So this is beautiful cultivation. That's why I say you will come to understand finally. That's why there are so many different possibilities of manifestation to allow you to have that very, very strong faith. When Kuan Yin's nature came to me, I knew when I was young, so many times it happened. That's why I have great respect and gratitude towards Kuan Yin, and I thank Kuan Yin because she protected my life, many lives, the form and mind, every time I come. And the affinity with the nature is very powerful. That's why I make a lot of very beautiful connection and affinity. Sadhu, continue. Project is very interesting. Yeah, this.
So yeah, it was so interesting that I say I mean you just know that it's a Kuan Yin. I have not seen the real Kuan Yin and all. But you see, you know, you know. Then after that, another thing appear even more interesting, you know. Then I saw that right after that the heart appeared to me, you know. Then another heart, you know. The heart came out. Then I said, "What mess?" I mean, at that time I never think lah. You know, I just saw it and I was amazed lah. You know. After that, when it happened already, so I said, "Hey, what does it mean?" By seeing I never think much of it lah. I just said to be just manifestation to show me that.
To let you understand. Well, later on you will understand all this when they manifest. At that time, you may not understand, but later on, you will recall and reflect and you understand how all these things become possible. Later on, you will go back to your childhood, everything, you will recollect and reflect. Then you will understand how come your life is like that. Then when you meet the Triple Gem and how you actually move in and develop all the cultivation and connection and understanding, then how this life you can have all this condition to move this way. It's all connected and it will be very clear to you as a cultivator. That's why the more you progress, the more you understand. And all this understanding will keep on unfolding. Sadhu, this is very good for saying that.
It was like very, very, very special and amazing to me.
Definitely. The word amazing and special is correct. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. But the message, I get to know what is it about, lah, Brother Teo.
Yeah, definitely you will know.
But after that, Brother Teo, I noticed whatever thing happened, is like people want to understand Dharma. They come and ask me things. I say, okay. You know? Then... Yeah. And also plus, like today, right? Today is another puja that I did, right? I did the puja, the Namo Ti Chang Wang Busa, you know? For how, like, I do the for how. Because I felt that I need to have that for how, you know?
I did that,
right? I did that. But when I want to do that, right, Bratio, the funny thing is my mala beads are all entangled, you know? All entangled. So all entangled, right? So I said, never mind, I take some time to untangle it, to put it back in normal lah, before I can do, you know, the 108 mala beads, right? I do, cannot, no, it just keep untangled, you know, I cannot, no. I wear my spec, cannot also, you know, I try a few minutes, cannot, no. Then you know what, in my mind, the thought came to me, huh, Brother Joe? He said, never mind. I still can use it. I said, entangle, so what? I just go around, yeah, you know?
Correct.
No problem, I said. No yes. problem, right?
Yes.
So I did that. You know what happened? No? Miraculously, huh, Brother Joe, as I do, huh, the thing untangled by itself. Yeah. You know?
It falls in place by itself.
Yeah.
You know,
do anything, you know,
you know what that message is? That is Dhamma. That is wisdom. Don't resist. Echo and flow. Yes. Whatever the condition is, when you try early, it becomes worse. Means it is testing you and teaching you and showing you something. That's why when you have that thought, why can't you continue? You just let things be. That is the Dhamma. Let things be means even that thing pasikat or in whatever condition, you can still continue. You just do. Then miraculously it will fall back into place. Because in real life also the same. I remember last time in the early day, after I understood the Dhamma, then previously earlier on when there was traffic jam or what, before I know the Dhamma, I like not happy with the condition one. Then the mind like want to complain, why these people don't know how to move on. Then later on after I know the Dhamma, I become like different now. Then I rejoice, I smile, then I look at the condition. I can accept the reality. Then I know, oh, normally this jam is going to be kaulat already. Means it comes with rain and all those things. But because I am patient and I have the Dhamma understanding, I didn't react, I was at peace. And you know what happened? All of a sudden, like miraculously, the car in front of me, he just know how to move out. No? After he moved out, I had the opening. Then I managed to went left and go somewhere else. No? Then the whole jam was clear. No? And I reached home much earlier. There's a lot of things just happened like that. Then I realized, if you react to situation and have negativity or mind state, it will make you worse. Then the condition will become like very messy. But if you are at peace with all condition, all situation, everything will just go your way. It will unfold and become beautiful. We are meant to be. Then the acceptance of it can actually bring about a lot of change. Even in the spiritual trip also say, the type of jam in China, you know China, the two-lane road, it's like, I haven't experienced the jam and the thing before, no. That was the first time. Then when I saw it, my nature knew it's going to be bad. Don't know how many hours you will be stranded here and all those things. But then my nature understands, just let things be. Then I chant, I recite inside me, all the whatever, namutasu, all those things. Then I silence my mind. Then I invoke power, merits, focus, synchrony. Then miraculously, our bus able to come out and move away, and we escape that. That type of jam, they told me, can be overnight on, in China, where you have to sleep, pee, and do your business along that highway that is jammed. Because the whole highway is jammed, cannot move until the government come and clear. Then there was also another one also saying, we were so lucky, they allow our lane to go down. Then we escaped actually. But the whole thing was jammed. We were on the wrong direction actually. We were supposed to be caught. But because of something else, they had to open up that stretch to allow us to cross. Then only they sealed that road. I remember that one was to this high altitude place. In the Erguo, you will hear me. My daughter was there. So naga ni er quarter trip, you remember? Yeah, Shangri-La, yes. Oh, we were caught in the traffic. But somehow we were lucky, you know, we cleared. Then after that, of course, they seal back the road and up there, all caught. And we just clear because we have that Dhamma and that understanding. So meant to be will be, okay, sadhu to you. There is Dhamma, very beautiful. Then what else? After that, what else?
It's just that I was very patient. I accept whatever. Yeah. I just do. You know, it's no problem. Just do, you know.
Yeah.
Flow and then, entangle, yeah. You know. Itself, yeah. You know.
Yes, yeah. It will unentangle by itself. And it become very beautiful. Sadhu.
Yeah, I didn't need to do anything at all.
That's what Dhamma is. That's why no negativity. Whatever happened, don't react, don't stir. No negativity. Accord and flow. Everything.
Will go. That is just so beautiful. And then, smiling away. I said, my goodness.
Yeah.
Beautiful,
yeah.
Yeah. Things is just the way it is, you know.
Yeah. Dhamma is the way it is. That is nature, suchness. The reality is.
Yeah. Whatever Brother Theo taught us, you know, is exactly, you know, just the Dhamma just flow by itself. You accept it, you know, and you just do, you know.
And it's so wonderful, so accessible to life.
You cannot imagine one, Brother Theo.
Yeah. Beyond people's wildest imagination, that is the one,
Your mind, your thought cannot imagine.
Comprehend one. The thought cannot comprehend one.
You cannot comprehend, incomprehensible, you know. So I find all this is so beautiful, you know. The more I do this bodhisattva cultivation, right, following, you know, just do
it. You will experience it and you will feel it, sadhu. Very good.
I just feel it, you know. Something that is there and I must look, you know. I say,
That's why it will lead you to see.
Yes. Somehow you feel it and then you must see, you know.
Yeah, then the joy, the understanding.
Understanding is like, you know, Amitabha, you know, really Amitabha.
Correct.
Thank you very much, Brother Theo.
Thank you so much for your good sharing. Okay, good.